Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Politicians should stand for life, not run from it. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, in light of certain politicians, not only presently but in the past, making comments about abortion, I have decided to issue a particular statement, Holly, which I did a few days ago. And we want to talk about it here because this really gets to the very heart of the most fundamental right of rights. The right to life is the right of all rights, without which there is no other right. Indeed, yeah, life is preeminent right of all rights.
Absolutely. And I don't think it's something to debate about. Of course, we know the Democrats, the left, are very much pro-abortion. But on the other side, we must be all about protecting life. And of course, we talk about over and over again, life begins at conception. And so in that same regard, life could easily be ended at any time between now and birth. And so I don't think it's an object to be debated about.
Right. And, you know, it shouldn't be a political issue. It's really not a political issue.
It's a biblical issue.
It's a fundamental biblical issue. It is a moral, ethical issue. Republicans, you know, they have talked about it from a political standpoint when it's politically expedient, that they're in favor of the right to life, that they're in favor of overruling Roe versus Wade. But then remember when Dobbs came down, this historic decision in June of 2022, and Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood were overturned? Those people that label themselves as Republicans, you didn't hear from them. They weren't very vocal. Some were, some weren't. This is not a political issue. That's why I said politicians, frankly, everyone, pastors too, but I'm referring specifically in this context to politicians, but pastors also stand in the same category, stand for a life, not run from it.
Right, and pastors need to educate their people about this issue and also to encourage people to vote for those who are standing on the side of life. Again, these unborn children are not up for debate.
No, the right to life is the right of all rights, as I said, without which there is no other right. Life is the preeminent right and the foundation of all rights, the right to free speech or free exercise of religion. It is meaningless to a lifeless corpse. And as the Declaration of Independence affirms, the right to life comes from God, not government, as an inalienable right. The role and purpose of government is to protect human life, and the duty of government is to secure the right to life and liberty. And it is not up to a popular vote. The right to life is not up to a popular vote. Neither judges nor lawmakers nor the people have the right to dehumanize an entire class of people and thereby to treat them as unworthy of life.
Absolutely. You know, President Trump appointed those three Supreme Court justices, which helped overturn these horrible abortion decisions in Dobbs. And so now we have to continue, as it goes to the states and we're dealing with these different amendments, we have to continue to stand for life. There's no compromise on that.
No, there's no compromise, and you shouldn't run from it. You know, human life begins at the moment of fertilization. That's when a unique human being begins. We did an op-ed recently, and there's a Langhorne's medical book that is used even today in medical schools. And we picked up the third edition, for example, 1975, but it was even predating that. So this is only a couple years after Roe, but even before Roe, it says the same thing. And it says, human life begins at fertilization. That is not up for scientific debate. You know, elective abortion is therefore intentional termination of human life. In setting aside, you know, the Orwellian euphemisms such as reproductive freedom, plain and simple, abortion is murder. Abortion is not, it is not a state's rights issue. The right to life is not determined by geographical borders. It is not acceptable to conclude that murder is wrong in one state and permitted in another. The right to life transcends political ideologies, geographical boundaries and time. The right to life is universal and transcendent.
And you know, Matt, regarding exceptions, you go on our website, lc.org/life. We have a lot of resources on there that talk about exceptions and people who have survived, say, a mother's rape or various issues. And they celebrate their life. They celebrate being alive. They celebrate that their mother chose life. So even that should not be an issue, because life is life.
You know, the only situation would be life for a life. But that is very, very rare in the context of abortion. It happens, but it's very rare.
Yeah, and a doctor's motive is always to deliver a healthy child if a mother's life is at risk.
Right, and when sometimes a life you think is threatened, it's really perhaps not threatened. But if it's really, really, really life for life, just like if you have a live person and another live person and somebody is trying to take your life, mm-hmm. you have a right to defend yourself. So that's the only real exception. The rape and incest, let's talk about that for a moment, because that is a very traumatic, certainly personal, difficult situation.
Yeah, I don't make light of that at all. But again, it's all about education and talking to people and talking to those people that have survived those very situations.
Well, in my own case, you know, I have shared this before, that my dad, my biological father, raped my stepsister, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth to a daughter. Ironically, that daughter is not only my niece, but she's also my stepsister. So she's in the same category of relationship as my stepsister. My stepsister, in other words, gave birth to another stepsister.
And that's horrific what happened to your sister, but I'm sure your niece celebrates her life today.
Well, and not only her, but she has given birth to another generation. So there's two generations already in my family from the horrible sin of my biological father. Mm-hmm. That was a horrible situation,
but
traumatic.
But you don't punish the child for the sin of the father.
And life always triumphs over tragedy.
Right.
So life always is the answer. Time will heal things, but when you ultimately try to compound, when you try to resolve a tragedy by adding a greater tragedy on top of it, mm-hmm. it compounds the original tragedy.
Absolutely.
And when you make a decision to address the tragedy with another tragedy, death is permanent, but life transcends all situations. And so, you know, in this case, we have to be careful when we just throw around terminology like mm-hmm. exceptions for life, rapes, and incest, you know, because the circumstances of that child's conception is not the problem fault of the child. That life of that child is still a human being at the moment of fertilization, no matter how it was conceived. And consequently, the circumstances don't value the life or devalue the life.
Right.
It's an inherent right to life from the moment of fertilization.
And those situations are opportunities for the church to come alongside those women, minister to them, make sure that they get healing, and help protect that child and allow that child to be born and grow.
Yeah, the child and the mother. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity for the church to mm-hmm. minister to people in the community and to the church community, as well as the greater community as well.
Mm-hmm.
As we're moving into this election cycle, and some of these states are getting initiatives that are trying to be put on the ballot to push forward an abortion amendment, it's critical. I encourage you to read this statement that we have on our website, lc.org, but also you can find it at lc.org/life. That's lc.org/life. I state in my statement that no decent person would argue that abortion is up to the states and subject to popular vote. And any politician who says abortion is a state's rights issue should be asked if slavery is a state's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if slavery should not be determined by popular vote, then how can the fate of innocent children be subject to a popular vote? It cannot. The Union of States, I say, could not survive with a checkerboard of free and slave states. The same is true of abortion. Abortion is not a right to be trumpeted and with sound bites or determined in the ballot box. Abortion is a shameful crime against humanity. Indeed, it is a crime against our Creator. Politicians, pastors, all of us should stand for life and not run from it.
So, and educate those people, too, that are on the fence, why it's so important to stand for life.
Absolutely. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, and specifically for our webpage on life and this statement, lc.org/life. That's lc.org/life.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.